From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. It has been a long, hard-fought midterm race, and it's not over.
And folks, make no mistake, the math is on our side to win this election.
If I wasn't your first choice, or if you made no choice at all, you're going to have a chance to do a do-over.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Brian Kemp has not declared victory, and Democrat Stacey Abrams has not yet conceded. And Georgia's sixth congressional district, the race between incumbent Karen Handel and Democrat Lucy McBath, still too close to call. So where do we go from here? GPB's Ross Terrell and Stephen Fowler are filling us in. Ross was at Republican Brian Kemp's watch party last night, and Stephen was there with Abrams' camp, both until the wee small hours. So thanks, guys, so much for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, let's start with you, with Abrams. Here she is. This was just before 2 o'clock this morning.
But I'm here tonight to tell you votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach.
Stephen Abrams seems to be angling for a runoff, but can you explain for us the distinction between a recount and a runoff?
Yeah, so what Abrams was mentioning last night and the campaign talking points moving forward is that right now there are less than 70,000 votes that separate her from Secretary of State Brian Kemp. And with more absentee mail-in ballots that remain to be counted, as well as provisional ballots that need to be could be corrected by Friday, there is a hope that Brian Kemp's margin can go below 50%. Abrams is below 50%, and this would move to a runoff in December. Now, a recount would be if Brian Kemp wins and Stacey Abrams falls within 1% of the total vote difference between them. So he gets 50.1 and she gets 49.1. Then there could be a recount where Abrams could ask for the counties and all across the state to recount all their votes, make sure everything is in and accurate, and see if that changes the total at all.
You said provisional ballots and mail-in ballots still awaiting. All counties in?
Most of the counties, almost all of the counties are completely in, done, wrapped up with a bow, ready to be certified. But some Metro Atlanta counties like Fulton, Cobb, and Gwinnett counties still have massive amounts of absentee mail-in ballots that need to be counted. And last night they said they would count them in the morning. So those are some of those tens of thousands of ballots that could send this race to a runoff.
Let's talk about what would happen if it does go to a runoff. Would take place December 4th. Libertarian Ted Metz, he got about 1% of the vote. How would his voters turn out? Would they make the difference in an outcome any different than yesterday's?
Well, the turnout for a runoff would probably be markedly lower than what we've seen for this general election. Right now, there's about 3.9 million ballots that have been cast. You won't see 3.9 million people voting in December, most likely. Now, with Libertarian Ted Metz, his closing pitch in the race was, if you don't like either one of them, vote for me. And so it's not clear whether Libertarian votes will go to Stacey Abrams or Brian Kemp, or if there are people that will just stay home.
Ross, what does Kemp think about the idea of a recount or runoff?
I don't think he thinks it's going there. At the end of the night, he's stopped short of declaring victory and kind of made the pitch saying, you know, I'm ready to be your next governor. There are reasons why I got into this. Here are those reasons I made promises. So he's not really talking like this is going in that direction.
So here's a little bit from his speech last night.
I entered public service out of frustration. I wanted to make it easier for hardworking Georgians to build a better life for their families.
Does that sound like a victory speech or a campaign speech?
A little of both. I think he had to walk a line. I mean, he didn't come out until almost 3 a.m. And I think a lot of that was kind of figuring out how to strike the right tone of hearing what Abrams had to say, not declaring victory, but also sounding confident that it looks like if everything falls the way we think, I'm going to be the next governor.
So the mood in the room at the end of the night, or how many were still hanging on at 3 a.m.?
The attendance was like a bell curve. People trickled in. There was definitely a high point where the room was probably about 85% full. By the end of the night, you're looking at maybe 200 to 300, a definite drop off. But overall, it stayed the same. The same few country songs on repeat, the same excitement. I mean, when he came out, people were cheering, signs, chanting. So I don't think they were too nervous.
All right. So it was expected that the race would be certainly close. But do you think the campaigns were prepared for this outcome?
I think both campaigns were prepared. I think, you know, Brian Kemp's campaign knew that this was going to be a tight, close race, and it would come down to who turned out for him and who turned out for Stacey Abrams. But the Abrams campaign was prepared as well. One of the campaign staffer told me early in the night that they have contingency plans A, B, and C if this happens, and plans for those plans. So they had different scenarios, and one of them, it seems like, was for a runoff, and that's why they were able to come out and say, every vote has to be counted. We believe there are votes in Democratic areas, and this is going to be done. Do not despair.
So that sounds like all legitimate votes counted. However, we know there was a big talking point from the Abrams campaign, accusations of voter suppression by Secretary of State's office, a couple of lawsuits as well. In fact, a lawsuit filed yesterday, just yesterday, by a group of Georgia voters wanting to put a federal injunction against Brian Kemp as Secretary of State against being in charge of any kind of runoff. Who actually decides if there's a runoff and who's in charge of the recount?
Well, so a runoff, the numbers decide if there's a runoff. If people are below 50%, then that's what goes there according to state law. But the recount can be requested by a candidate. So if the roles were reversed and Stacey Abrams was up by 1% over Brian Kemp, he could request a runoff that then he, as Secretary of State, could approve. So, but it's done at a state level, and then all of the counties can be asked. Like, individual counties can do what's called a re-canvass, which is where they go over their votes and make sure everything's counted. And so there are 159 counties that can re-canvass, but all of them would have to participate in a recount for a statewide race like this. And then it's ultimately the Secretary of State's office that directs those counties. Here's how you need to do. Here's when you need to do it by, and let us know what it says.
So the numbers dictate the runoff, of course, but still the Secretary of State's office would be in charge of it. If it is a contested race at this point, would the Secretary of State's office still oversee the race? Or Brian Kemp, rather, as Secretary of State?
Well, again, there's 159 counties with 159 elections officials and things like that. So it's done at a county level, but it falls under the umbrella of the Elections Division of the Secretary of State's office. So nominally speaking, at least, Brian Kemp would be overseeing the runoff recount process. But if it does go to a runoff, he most likely will step down from that so he can fundraise while the legislative special session happens next week. Because as a statewide elected official, he would not be able to fundraise while the legislature is in session, which normally wouldn't be a problem. But we've got the special session coming up, and he's not going to lose out on a week of fundraising in a tight runoff. So I would imagine he would step down at that point, but it remains to be seen.
That's GPB's Stephen Fowler. Ross Terrell is also here with us. We're talking about the still undecided Georgia governor's race. Brian Kemp described this election as a battle for the soul of our state. So what do we know about the soul or the state of Georgia's soul at this moment?
I think at this point, he kind of mentioned in his speech, you know, I promise to put families first, to put people first. And I think you have a Republican legacy on the line here. You're talking now, he will be succeeding Governor Deal, who during his term loves to tout the fact that Georgia was ranked number one for business 6 years in a row. He was there last night. One thing that I did find interesting in all of this was some people I talked to last night actually had concerns the other way about voting. As we know, some polls are open late because of some voting issues, and they were concerned that that was going to unfairly help the Democrats, which I found that to be a little interesting. But the soul of the state right now is, I think, keeping that Republican legacy and keeping Georgia a state to do business in.
But let's look at his mandate. You know, this is something that politicos love to talk about, a landslide in a race with a few bumps, strong mandate. But that's thought to give an official more power to get things done. But if Kemp, in the end, does narrowly win amid talk of voter suppression, what happens to his mandate? Will that make him tougher for him to govern?
It may make him tougher for him to earn the trust of Georgians. But I think as far as governing, I don't think it'll change. The people who support him support him. You know, he's been the Secretary of State. You also have the Lieutenant Governor, who was Republican, who won last night, the AG, a number of people on his side who came out and proclaimed victory. So I think as far as legislatively and other lawmakers, it won't make it that much more difficult to get things done other than typical political squabbles.
Now, Russ, of course, we have heard a lot about Georgia turning blue this election season. Doesn't seem to be quite the case, but do we have enough to say maybe it's purple?
I wouldn't go that far yet. There were a lot of Republican victories, and there are still two key races that are too close to tell that those could easily, you know, go red. I mean, you talk about a possible another Republican governor. I wouldn't quite say we're purple just yet, but we could get there.
Stephen, the gubernatorial race gives us a feel for the overall political picture, of course, in Georgia. Rural Georgia, of course, still pretty red. Brian Kemp wins and Republicans do have full control of redistricting. Will Georgia's political landscape accurately reflect its numbers, you know, the true colors, even if it is turning purple?
Well, you know, from the objective standpoint, all politicians will say that redistricting is there to help benefit all Georgians and to make it fair and put the technically same numbers and everywhere in there. But it will be beneficial for Republicans redrawing districts. You know, they're not going to be able to draw things where Georgia will have no Democratic representation. But you look at the broad picture of the results and you have these large metro areas that tend to vote more heavily Democratic. And then you have large swaths of rural Georgia that tend to vote more Republican. And any sort of redistricting that will be done to preserve those existing areas. You're not going to have a congressional district that has part of Macon all the way down to Valdosta and, you know, it takes away the liberal vote there and things like that. But it should, in theory, be pretty accurate with the overall picture of what Georgia looks like.
At the end of the night at the Abrams campaign, what was the spirit like there? There's so many people mobilized to vote, both on the Democrat and Republican side. Is there enough momentum to go through another almost full month of this kind of campaigning?
Well, you know, I don't know if I have the momentum to go through another month, but this, the Georgia Democratic Party and the Stacey Abrams campaign has put together the type of momentum and ground game and organization that really neither political party has seen in recent history. And so, you know, they think that they have the people power to get people to the polls. If you look at this race, they were able to get it within, you know, 2 percentage points now, maybe force it to a runoff. And they have the ability to contact people that they think there's the volunteers that are there to mobilize people to come out. So it won't be another 3.9 million people voting in the runoff, but you will definitely see a lot more participation, especially because this race, if it goes to a runoff, will be the ultimate referendum on voting rights in Georgia.
So waiting game at this point. Ross, you've been talking to the campaign this morning. What kind of things are they saying?
I think last night you got two different messages from the campaign. Some staffers said, you know, this is a nail biter. And others, I asked, do you think you guys are going to win tonight? And they say, yeah, we think we're going to call it that we'll have a winner. And obviously that didn't happen. One thing to keep an eye on is leading up to this race, you had each side bring in proverbially their biggest guns.
Right.
You had Trump and Pence. You had Oprah and Obama. I don't know if you get much bigger than those two people. So this will truly be a test of the candidate reaching voters in areas and really energizing them again for another month if it goes to runoff.
Maybe without the celebrity endorsements.
Correct.
There you go. GPB's Ross Terrell, Stephen Fowler, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I would say get some sleep, but I don't know if that's in the cards.